There was a notebook up here at some point. Oh, okay. Oh. Surprise. Hope you've had a nice weekend. It's beautiful. You got to experience the storms at all Friday night. If you weren't already awake or if your kids weren't already waking you up or anything like that, it's pretty amazing. Just a glimpse of the power of God. When you think about the power of the thunder and the lightning and the wind and hail, not that we like destruction, but it is amazing to just pause and reflect on the powerful God we serve. And then yesterday, at least afternoon, as the clouds moved away and the sun came out, and it's just perfect welcome to fall kind of a day. And it just, all things we praise our God in, whether it's cloudy or sunny, and we give Him thanks and praise. Thanks for being here today, and thanks for worshiping God together with us. If you're visiting with us, you're welcome. I hope that this time can be encouraging to you, that we can get to know you a little bit and have an opportunity to help you know a little bit more about the Lord. So as the text that was read for us just a minute ago, if you recall Matthew 13, there were large crowds that had come together to see Jesus, and says He sat down in the boat and He started speaking, and He said, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and the birds came and took it away. Some fell among the rocky places, and there was no depth of soil, and immediately it sprang up because there was no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, immediately it was scorched because it had no root, and it withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out. And some fell among the good soil and grew a crop. Some yielded 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now imagine that's the sermon for the day. No commentary, no explanation. I just tell a story like that, and maybe a few others. And that's it. How would you respond? Think about that. How would you respond? Would you go home unchanged? Would you go home confused? What in the world was that about? Maybe frustrated. I didn't get my money's worth. Or would you go home and think about the meaning? What could that have meant? Try and understand. What was he talking about? Or maybe you'd take me aside afterwards. We're shaking hands as the door. Could you give me a little more information? A little more clarification? A little more explanation? I'm not Jesus, so I can't pull that off. Although I could get used to this Jewish format of teaching and sitting down here. I don't know, what do you think? We're not really set up for it very well, so I'll come back up here, I guess. But I can't pull that off. But he could. And if you look at what's said in this context of Matthew, Jesus is speaking in parables. In fact, he's teaching exclusively in parables. If you would open up your Bibles to Matthew 13, we're going to camp out here most of the morning. We'll turn to Mark a little bit, but spend most of our time in Matthew 13. It says in Matthew 13 and verse 3, he spoke many things to them in parables. And then if you look down in verse 34, it says, "All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable." And again, at this point, he's teaching to the crowds exclusively in parables. Previously, though, he had proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom plainly, openly, unhindered. And you see Matthew focusing in on the fact he was preaching and he was healing. And you think about the various reactions to Jesus preaching and healing. I mean, he's in front of everybody before this, he's doing the exact same things, but you see a wide variety of responses. You see disciples like Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, and others who are willing to leave everything and follow after Jesus. You see in them a great commitment. You see in the crowds, you see crowds who were amazed by Jesus, amazed by his teaching, amazed by his miracles. They were coming to him, but largely for healing. Their enthusiasm, in large, was misplaced and superficial, and so Jesus is going to address that. But you do see enthusiasm with them. With the religious leaders, though, they grew hardened and rejected Jesus. Their rejection of Jesus increased to the point that you see them plotting to kill him. They're ready to destroy him. All over this Sabbath controversy, it just made them so upset, and they're ready to kill Jesus. Religious leaders were coming. We see them coming to Jesus, but to test him and to trap him. And so at this time, Jesus began teaching the crowds exclusively in parables. And very naturally, his disciples said, "Why? Master, why do you teach in parables?" I want us to think about this for a second. Why is an important question? What the disciples are asking here and what Jesus will go on to answer is very important. If I were to poll the audience, my guess is most of you didn't wake up this morning just thinking, "I wonder why Jesus taught in parables." It's probably not the point on your of meditation for you for the day. But I want to take the time to ask the question. I want to take the time to answer it, because I think what Jesus is doing here, and if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to kind of think critically and carefully through his response, it's going to open up some really important insights to understand God and Christ and his purposes in his kingdom much more. And so we'll find that the answer will challenge us in many important ways. So I ask us all to just think carefully together and let's grow together. So why do you speak in parables? Again, this is our question. But before, again, we ask this question, it's important to understand what are parables. So we want to look at this first and recognize the word parable literally just means a placing beside. And so we're recognizing it's a placing of one thing beside another. More specifically, what we're seeing is here's this physical narrative, this physical image that's placed beside this spiritual truth or this spiritual lesson. You know the phrase, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But as you see that, think parallel. These are parallel concepts. I want to just illustrate this with the parable we just looked at. Jesus is telling this story, and what you see are seeds and you see soils. And that's the story. But what he's really talking about is the gospel and the hearts that the gospel impacts. And so it's this physical narrative or image that's designed to vividly illustrate and explain spiritual truth. And it's a physical narrative or image that's designed to reveal this spiritual truth that's otherwise been hidden. If you again look at verses 34 of Matthew 13, it says, "All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This is to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world.'" There is, he quotes Psalm 78. He's saying, here were things that were hidden. And as he opens his mouth in parables, what he's doing is he's revealing these things that were otherwise hidden. In verse 17, he said, "Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see. They desired to hear what you hear and did not hear." Here were these amazing truths that were hidden. That were hidden, and now they're coming to light. And so these parables were intended to reveal these hidden things. We might even think about 1 Peter 1. Remember the statement that's made? Things in which angels long to look. You know, sometimes we think about, man, what the angels see. And think about that statement for just a second. They're saying they want to see what we see. That's an incredible blessing that here we have access to these mysteries that have been hidden, and there was such anticipation and excitement to understand them and see them. And so again, it's intended to reveal, to illustrate, to explain. But this is an important thing to recognize as well. Nothing is said within the parable itself about its meaning. Now, there's context clues. And there's sometimes Jesus will offer explanation. But if you just look at the story or the image itself, it's just this story or this image with really no key code to help us understand. Some parables required interpretation. And we see the disciples asking, what does that mean? Please help us with this. And certainly every parable requires meditation, careful consideration to understand the truth and that this parable is intended to reveal. Recognize this too is by design. The hearers had to work for it. Hearers were meant to ask themselves, ask Jesus, what does this mean? What is this about? And so, again, why do we speak in parables. Listen to Jesus' answer again in Matthew 13. I want to read verses 10 through 18. And the disciples came to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you are granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand in their heart, and would return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see, and hear what you hear and did not hear.' Hear then the parable of the sower." And he goes on to explain that. Think about Jesus' answer for just a second and the things that we just read. The first statement that he makes is, "To you it has been given." Again, as we said, the purpose of parables was to reveal these hidden truths of God's kingdom, but not to everybody. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he's drawing a line between his disciples and the crowds. Jesus would explain parables to his disciples, but it says again, notice this emphasis in the text, "but spoke to the crowds in parables." In other words, the crowds heard the stories, the disciples heard spiritual truths of the kingdom. So here's the question. Is this just some arbitrary line that Jesus has drawn between crowds and disciples? Is this partiality? Is this favoritism? No. And we'll see this and we'll recognize this. On the surface, we may read that and see, well, it's just some arbitrary line, just some random selection. But no. Think about this. What's the difference between the crowds and the disciples? When did Jesus explain the parables to the disciples? And why did Jesus explain the parables to the disciples? Think about that. In light of what we just looked at, even if we just strip away what we know before Matthew 13, you just take Matthew 13. Why? They asked. Aren't they the ones that are coming to him and asking, "Help us understand this. Please explain to us." They asked. We'll come back to this more in a moment, but notice the other thing he says. He says, "In them Isaiah is being fulfilled. In Isaiah's day, the people had hard hearts that prevented them from hearing God's word in such a way that they would return to him for healing." Recognize that. When you go back to Isaiah and see that, they had hard hearts and they wouldn't return to God. They wouldn't hear him. They wouldn't hear Isaiah. They wouldn't come and be healed. They weren't healed because they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear because they had hard hearts. They were proud and rebellious. And you see that in Isaiah. And Jesus is drawing the connection, and he says, "Likewise, the heart of this people's become dull. While seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." That's what he says in verse 13 about his audience, about the people of that day. Again, they hear the story, but they don't hear the truth. They're not asking, they're not seeking, they're not knocking, if we could use the Sermon on the Mount language. They don't want to understand. They don't want to repent. Understand this. Jesus is wanting to reveal these things. Jesus isn't wanting to hide them from people. He's wanting to reveal them. Please do turn to Mark 4. You can keep a finger in Matthew 13 if you want, but do turn to Mark 4 for just a second. Mark and Luke both record another parable in this same context of these parables that he's giving. Provide another parable that show this point, that Jesus' intention, that the parable's design is to reveal, not to conceal. And we'll look at Mark 4, verses 21 through 23. After he's just explained the parable of the sower, he says, "And he was saying to them, 'A lamp is not brought to be put under a bed, is it? Or excuse me, put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.'" We'll probably recognize this imagery more so from the Sermon on the Mount. And there Jesus is using this illustration to make the point, well, you're reflecting the light of God. You let your light shine. Notice he's using the same illustration, but in a very different context here. Here in the context of parables and revelation, he relies on common sense. And you just think about this from common sense perspective. You all have lights in your bedroom, somewhere in your room. Do you take that light, put it under your bed? I may invent one someday. You know, here's a new lamp that goes under the bed. It doesn't work at all. Buy it. We don't do that. We realize that takes away the purpose of the light. You put it up on the ceiling, you put it on the lampstand so that it impacts more. He says, "Nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, Jesus desires that these hidden and these secret things be revealed, come to light. And notice this, Jesus invites all to hear. This again is not some isolated private invitation. He invites all to hear. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Recognize this is the point. This is what this all revolves around. Parables were not designed to conceal truth and thus just keep people out of the kingdom of heaven. Parables were designed to reveal truth, but only to those with ears to hear. I'm just going to flash these up on the screen. I won't take the time to turn to these. Just note this, though. Read through Matthew 13, read through Mark 4, read through Luke 8 that shows the same context. And I want you to just note the emphasis in the context on hearing, on listening, on understanding. Notice the emphasis on those things in the context, and notice the connection Jesus draws between those. The thing is, it's not that the disciples possess this greater intellectual capacity to understand their meaning. It's not that they were just so smart and they could figure it out. It's not that the disciples received some understanding through supernatural direct revelation. In other words, the Holy Spirit didn't just zap them with the knowledge of this parable, the understanding of the parable. It was that the disciples had ears to hear. They wanted to understand, and they sought to understand. They asked for explanation. They asked for revelation. And they were willing to repent and give up everything for the kingdom of heaven. The disciples heard the spiritual mysteries of the kingdom while the crowds just heard parables. It's all because they had ears to hear. Hearing is a heart issue. Recognize this point. Hearing is a heart issue. Our ability to hear and understand is directly correlated with the condition of our heart. Our willingness and desire to understand the truths of the kingdom, our willingness and desire to do the will of God. If we don't want to understand, we won't. If we don't want to do what God wants me to do, we won't. You might think about what Peter warned in 2 Peter 3 when he talks about those who distorted the teachings and the writings of Paul. They were untaught and unstable and distorted. Again, it's that heart issue, that unwillingness to obey and do the will of God. So many times our ability or inability to understand God's word is not a matter of intellectual ability, but again, it's that desire to hear and understand. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And do we recognize this? God wants our hearts. God wants our hearts. The parables would draw out those who truly sought to understand the nature of the kingdom, those who truly wanted to follow Jesus, Messiah, truly wanted to obey Him. Therefore, what we see, Jesus presented this message in a deliberate way to separate those worldly-focused masses from the kingdom-focused disciples. And so there's this, again, line that's being drawn. And so just to make sure we see this clearly, to answer the answer to their questions, why parables? Well, certainly to illuminate, to reveal incredible spiritual truths, but to illuminate these incredible spiritual truths to those with ears to hear. To those with ears to hear. And we see it working to draw out those who really wanted to know about God's kingdom. Think about this for just a second. This whole notion of parables. Think about this in light of the wisdom of God. And how these parables magnify the wisdom of God. Think about the clarity of an image. How do you grasp a spiritual truth? I mean, we're dealing with things in a realm that we cannot see. And how do we grasp that? We need to see it in ways that are clearly identifiable and relatable. We come to grasp the truths of the kingdom with clarity because they're illustrated in ways that we can relate to. And so you think about the clarity that comes with an image and the ability of Jesus to help us understand these truths through this image that we can see. We can see in a much more tangible way. But think about this as well, the power of an image. How do you convey such a deep spiritual truth? You connect it with an image. Jesus could say something to the effect of, the kingdom of heaven may seem insignificant at first, but it's going to be awesome. Or he could say, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is smaller than all the garden plants. When it's planted, it grows up into be, you know, and now we've got this image and we can picture it and we can think about the awe of how this tiny little seed grows into something amazing. The power of that. Again, he could say something to the effect of, people will reject the gospel for many different reasons. But he chose to say, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell. The power of that image to now help us understand, am I that rocky soil? Am I that road where my heart's just so hard, there's no growth, no development? Or maybe I'm the ledge. Maybe I'm that rocky ground where there's just no depth. And I've got some initial enthusiasm and excitement, but man, as soon as it gets difficult, I dodge. You know, again, think about that, the image to help us see that and recognize there's no depth. And now I can see there's no depth in my life, in my heart. He's helping us understand that. And so the clarity of an image, the power of an image, but think about this as well, the power and the power of meditation and reason. When we're just, you know, spoon-fed through this long lecture of bullet points, like I'm doing now, is that as beneficial as taking this thing and just chewing on it personally? And you know, I can give a presentation about why parables, but it means so much more when you're struggling with that question and searching the scriptures and thinking about Jesus' answer. And, you know, so he'd give these stories and the disciples would scratch their heads. But think about how that deepens them now. That journey, that process, and how that meditation, that reason would deepen them in these spiritual truths. And I would suggest, for all these reasons and more, the parables magnify the wisdom of God. As we see this method of Jesus' teaching, we see God's wisdom. I want to add this warning. I want us to recognize this warning. Look at Mark 8 for just a minute. If you would turn to Mark chapter 8. We may identify ourselves initially with this good soil. Yields a crop, 100, 30, 60, 30-fold. We may be those disciples that are asking the questions and have ears to hear. But we need to continue to have ears to hear. Later on, the disciples began to harden their hearts towards Jesus. They saw Jesus feed 5,000 with many leftovers. They saw Jesus feed 4,000 with many leftovers. Yet they're focusing on physical things and they miss the spiritual lessons in all this. And so at this section in Mark 8, Jesus is warning them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians. And they're thinking about bread. They forgot bread. And so Jesus is talking about leaven and their minds immediately go to think about bread. And Jesus rebukes them. Listen to his response to them. It says in verse 16, they began discussing with one another that they had no bread. Verse 17, and Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" They said 12. "When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Notice again, this point in their walk, they've shut down. They've started hardening their hearts. They've stopped seeing the spiritual truth within these, even these miracles. They should look at the feeding of the 5,000 and walk away with an understanding. Jesus can provide everything I need and what I need most importantly. And yet they, "Oh, we forgot bread. What are we going to do about this? We forgot bread." And they're with Jesus. And he quotes that same Isaiah passage. And now instead of applying it to the crowds, he applies it to them. "Do you not yet see or understand?" Though the disciples had ears to hear early on, they hardened their hearts and stopped listening to Jesus. We too must have ears to hear now and continue to have ears to hear. And so what about me? Do I listen? This is just our personal reflection from the day. Do I listen? Whether we're talking about conversations with man or with God, one of the biggest obstacles that we come across is our failure to listen. Really, our failure to listen. And these parables reveal how important it is that we do just that, that we listen, that we hear. Think about just, again, all the religious error in the world. And the failure to hear, the failure to strip away preconceived ideas and just listen to what God says. We looked at the Sermon on the Mount this morning, and Jesus would so often say, "Well, have you not read? Just go back to what God said and read it. It's written." Consider how much division, just difficulty, exists among brethren because of a failure to hear. Failure to hear, a failure to strip away preconceived ideas, listen to God, and listen to one another. These apply in our one another relationships as well. And so do I have ears to hear? Do I desire, truly desire to understand what God says? Do I truly desire to obey God's will? Do I listen carefully? Do I listen without bias? Do I listen unhindered by these preconceived ideas that I bring to the table? You might think of it this way. Do I incline my ear? Am I just plugging my ear? We need to incline our ear. But too often, not physically, but spiritually, we just shut down and don't hear. Well, I recognize, again, probably didn't wake up this morning, wonder why Jesus spoke in parables, thinking about these questions. But I hope we'll leave thinking about these questions and thinking about at least the truths that Jesus tries to bring to our attention here. We need ears to hear. Again, do you have ears to hear? Do you desire to understand God's will? Do you desire to obey God's will? As Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." If we can do anything to encourage you in your walk with God, help you draw closer to him, help you understand his word, help you live out his word, we want to do that and encourage you and pray with you and help you in any way. If you're not in Christ and you want to come to him for salvation, we want to help you baptize you into Jesus for forgiveness of sins, that you can receive the gift that he gives. If we can do anything to help you, please come forward as we stand and sing.